Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. CBS News is told by a law enforcement source that at least one person has died in shootings on the Michigan State University campus in East Lansing. It's unclear if it was a student or faculty member or other individual. Police say several people have been wounded and they are being taken to a hospital. WWJ's Aaron V reports.
Earlier this evening, it started out with a tweet from MSU Police and Public Safety saying that there was reported active shooter situation taking place on campus near the Berkeley Hall, and that the next situation was that the active shooter was on foot on the campus walking about. They were asking all of the students to and staff members, anyone on campus, to shelter in place. And as the situation developed throughout the evening, now they're asking everybody on campus and immediately off campus to continue to shelter in place. This is an active situation. Police are already swarming the campus.
Nearly 37,000 people are confirmed dead in the earthquakes that devastated Turkey and Syria 1 week ago. CBS's MTS Tayyab.
While the sense of rage at Turkey's political rulers is only growing, there are still moments of extraordinary hope. Like when this 13-year-old boy was rescued from the rubble 182 hours after the quake first struck.
New York City police now say one person has died and eight others injured after a U-Haul plowed into people this morning in Brooklyn. WCBS-TV's Lisa Rosner.
At least eight people struck in seven different locations before the NYPD ended the violent rampage.
The patrol got into, in front of the truck, and then the truck got into the sidewalk. Like, he couldn't move anymore.
Sources say he is 62-year-old Wang Sor, born in Malaysia, but a U.S. citizen living in NYC for at least a decade.
Four flying objects have been shot down since February 4th, three of them since Friday, over Alaska, Canada, and Lake Huron. It's not yet known what the most recent flying objects are, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
I just wanted to make sure we address this from the White House. I know there have been questions and concerns about this, but there is no indication of aliens or extraterrestrial activity with these recent takedowns.
A new report says the teen girls in the U.S. are dealing with high levels of mental health challenges as well as violence. WSB's Sabrina Cupid.
Nearly three in five teenage girls say they feel constantly sad or hopeless. In addition, the CDC's Kathleen Ethier says the report also found that nearly one in five teen girls had experienced sexual violence in the past year.
14% of teen girls had been physically forced to have sex when they did not want to.
And 30% said they had seriously considered suicide. That's up by nearly 60% over the past 10 years.
Ford plans to build a $3.5 billion electric vehicle factory plant, a battery that is plant, about 100 miles west of Detroit that would employ about 2,500 people. This is CBS News.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly could. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on, and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I know very little about brewing beer, but it is a science.
Is there ever any danger, Sam, of anything blowing up in my kitchen if I decide to homebrew?
Do you have any, like, scars?
I have a lot of burns, which, you know, have left scars. You know, we deal with, like, a lot of hot liquid.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin, and welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. We are going to have a very fun hour after all of the heaviness that...
We covered a lot of ground this morning.
There was a lot of... We need a shower after all of that heaviness. And so I am very excited because this is going to be a very fun guest, a very fun topic, because everyone knows that the best part of elementary school is recess followed by gym class and maybe for Jane and I, music class.
Oh, absolutely.
But honestly, as someone who was... undiagnosed ADHD, except instead of hyperactivity, I was inattentive. I spent a lot of time daydreaming when I had to sit in a chair for 8 hours a day. When I heard about this school right around in our part of the woods in Muckwanago, I knew that I wanted to learn more about it. So our guest for this segment is Colleen Hoyne, who serves as the principal of Eagleville Elementary Charter School and a 4K coordinator for the Muckwanago Area School District. Welcome to the show, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's so great to be here. I'm excited to talk about all the amazing things that are happening at Eagleville. So thank you.
So because I didn't set it up beyond the tease of recess and gym class, which there's obviously a lot of curriculum, but what is special about Eagleville?
Yeah, Eagleville is a pretty special place, which is... why I am excited to share about it and why I love to call it my home away from home. But Eagleville is an environmentally focused charter school. So we are a public charter school in the school district of Wisconsin. I always like to say we have the best of both worlds because we have the resources and support of a large school district, but the flexibility to do things differently because we are a charter school. And our charter specifically, like I said, focuses on environmental education. So that ranges from just the way we practice as a school. You know, we compost daily. Our kids use things, reduce waste through reusable trays and silverware. They track the amount that they recycle. Just things from, in general, trying to live environmentally friendly and teach students about environmental sustainability in education, to using our space and teaching kids about advocating for their environment outside and the ways that they can be involved in their environment outside. So we are very blessed that we have beautiful grounds. We have a school forest. We also are located right near Jericho Creek in Muckwanago. So our students have access to the creek and have spaces for We currently have a large butterfly garden, and we are converting our vegetable garden into a sensory garden over the course of the next year or two. So our students have the access to that space, and then the way that they use those spaces to learn specifically about environmental education, but also just to utilize that space for learning STEM design, you know, STEM design thinking and the design process. They use those spaces to get creative for reading and writing. And creativity. So it's a combination of the learning about our environment, but also just getting to experience the environment on all aspects that we do. So it's a pretty special place.
It is. I mean, that truly getting to spend that much time outdoors, but it's also, and if you can give some more examples as far as like the taking traditional curriculum and kind of reframing it. So it's still math, it's still science, it's still reading and everything, but it's in through a different lens or even a different environment. And so what are some of the exchanges, if that's the right word, as far as how some of the curriculum is still filling requirements, but it's tailored to the mission of the school?
Yeah. So I think we have tried really hard and continue, I think, to try and grow the ways that we are taking what is the curriculum that we have within the district and then putting an environmental spin on it. So, you know, in reading and writing, we try to, as much as possible, incorporate environmental text. We just finished our One Book, One School, and we read One Plastic Bag, which is all about how a woman in Gambia started saving her village from plastic bags and the damage they cause. And our kids learned all about that and were inspired by that. So it's just a range of texts, whether they're reading them independently or we're doing it as a school. Kids have turned persuasive essays to focus on the environment, why we should use less straws or different environmental things we could do. They actually have written persuasive essays about things we could do in our environment here. We have an event called Parent Creek Day where they educate parents about it. And that was all from a persuasive writing unit. So it's incorporating those things in there. And then in terms of science and social studies, kids are really just hands-on outside doing things like planting in the butterfly garden, planting things for our sensory garden. We do a lot of community things. One of the other cool things about Eagleville is we're a small school. We only have about 110 students.
Oh, wow.
So kindergarten through sixth grade, they all know each other and work together. So we do a lot of STEM things together. Last year, they learned a little bit about wind power. We were talking about different sources of energy and forces and motion. And then they, in kindergarten through sixth grade, mixed groups how to build wind power cars and they see how far they could go. So it's things like that that are tying into the standards, the state standards that we follow, but ways to do it creatively so that they can work together, but also incorporating the environmental sustainability pieces we try to focus on.
We're talking to Colleen Hoyne, who is the principal of Eagleville Elementary School, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a charter school that is environmentally focused on both with its kids and its curriculum. Jane?
Colleen, just after hearing you talk about the programs, I am firmly convinced now, as someone who's always been mathematically challenged, that if I had been outside and a teacher had said, what are 5 leaves times 3 leaves, and we had been able to show me the leaves, it would have made a big difference because everyone learns so differently, right?
100%. And I think our teachers are constantly trying to think of ways that they can get kids outside doing those types of things, whether it's, you know, there's in a geometry unit and they're outside building shapes from the things they've collected in the school forest and like, okay, build a square, and they have to run and find the different things from the school forest to build it. Or, you know, working on scavenger hunts where they're, you know, our kindergartners are identifying literacy and letters, you know, through the school forest and things like that. So just as many ways as they can, I think they're constantly trying to incorporate the outdoors and the environment whenever they can.
So as a teaching professional, I'm assuming that you've also taught in more traditional environments than this one.
Yes, definitely. This is definitely my first time in an environment like this one.
And so can you see tangible differences of how kids learn here versus other places you've taught in previously?
I think the biggest difference for me is some of those for lack of a better word, soft skills, employability skills that we see. I think our kids, I think any of the schools in Maguanago, it is an amazing school district and kids are getting fantastic education related to the standards. I think where I see something really cool and different in our students is our kids truly are leaders and advocates. They know what it means to problem solve and be creative. I think they're have so many opportunities to practice those skills, teamwork and communication, that those help them to solve challenges later on that make them really successful students, but also just human beings down the road, which is pretty special.
And so because, I mean, I found out about you guys through the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so since there's a little bit more press, is there room for, as like if this gains in popularity in Maguanago, is there room to have a bigger school, or is it something that has to kind of stay capped just because of resources and the size of the school?
So we don't have a ton of space to grow. Okay. We certainly, depending on the grades, we definitely have some space available. For sure, we currently have a wait list at some grades. So Eagleville is a very cool building. The school itself has been around, I believe we celebrated 172 years this year. So it's been around for quite a bit. And the current building was actually built mostly in the 1930s with an addition in the 1950s. So it's quite an old building. Yeah. And because of that, it's very limited in the construction and the size of the building and the changes that we can make to it. And just because of where we sit, we are hesitant to, I think we would have support if we were like, let's go somewhere else and make it a bigger school. The things we are doing are awesome. But just because of the fact that we're using the outdoor space that we're on, it's a little bit hard to grow it and the building can't get bigger. But we are definitely always looking for new families, and we do have a wait list at some grade levels. And we love to show off what we're doing. So any families that are interested, they should reach out, and I'd love to give them a tour and just tell them more about Eagleville. If you can't tell, I like to talk about Eagleville and what we're doing here. So it'd be great if they wanted to stop out by.
Okay, well, I guess this my last question is, I feel like this winter isn't a very good example of this, but my question was going to be, what do you guys do in the winter?
Well, we tell kids to bring warm clothes.
Okay.
In all seriousness, we do go out mostly regardless of the weather. But we do snowshoe. So our kids have snowshoes, which is pretty cool. They did get to go out once this year. It was like a small window, like go out today or you're not going to get to go out. We do winter sewing. So our kids just finished winter sewing. So they did the planting and learned about it and made like mini greenhouses. So those plants will eventually be transplanted into our gardens. And then we typically have done maple sugar tapping, which is pretty cool. And that comes up about this time of year. But a lot of it is the indoor thing. So we, you know, some of that one school, one book, talking about some of the other sustainability and like waste reduction things that we can just do as a part of our being versus outside, some of the other aspects of it.
Well, this is so cool. I wish I could have gone to a school like that growing up, because it's incredible. So Colleen Hoyne, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was really great to talk with both of you.
Absolutely. And we will put, you can follow Eagleville Charter on Facebook and on Twitter. And so we will put all of that on today's show notes. But check it out and see if there's, I don't know, maybe we can incorporate that in some other school districts. But thank you so much, Colleen.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. All right, when we come back, Jane has set up a game for us. Teddy versus Riri?
Teddy or Riri.
Teddy or Riri. So play along. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Ain't got no name, ain't got no fancy education. But I can see right through a powder face on a painted fool. Let me slip through. Why you trying to hold me back? I'm just trying to move up front, little more this, little less of that.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 31.
Overnight,
under clear skies,
winds out of the south,
5 to 10 miles an hour.
Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow,
high of 50,
cloudy skies expected.
Overcast tomorrow night,
scattered rain showers likely,
lows dip down to about 41.
3 to 5 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Fine light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair. We are back on the no sour, haha, funny power hour, and I think that's where we're going to stay for the rest of the show. We got some goofy stories to, as we said, shower ourselves from the infuriating stories we did the first 2 hours.
Absolutely.
So, last night you and I were texting about the halftime show, and I guess you had seen something on Twitter that sparked a little idea for you.
Yeah, let me just remind you all, remember who Ronnie Jackson is?
No.
Ronnie Jackson is currently a congressman representing Texas's 13th district, but he was the former White House doctor who is nicknamed the Candy Man because of the allegedly generous way he doled out prescription drugs. He also said that then-President Donald Trump had incredibly good genes, and if he'd only eaten a little healthier, he could have lived to be 200 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a pretty...
I mean, truly, he's still alive. He still could.
That's possible. Yes, many things are possible. But as the halftime show was going on, and this came across my Twitter feed, a tweet from Representative Jackson, again, now representing Texas's 13th district, he was so disgusted by Rihanna's halftime performance and said that a far better choice would have been Ted Nugent. And that just got me thinking about lyrics.
Okay.
And what is appropriate and what may not be appropriate for a halftime show. Now, personally, I just found Rihanna's halftime show confusing. I didn't understand the puffy marshmallow dancers, but whatever. But I thought we would play a game called Teddy or Riri.
I like it.
So I will read off some lyrics, and you tell me whether you think it is Ted Nugent or Rihanna who wrote these lyrics.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
We have four.
Four.
We'll start with the first one. Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in heat. You can tell it's me by the clamor now, baby. I like to tear up the streets.
I'm pretty sure that's Rihanna.
I'm not finished.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't turn me round, and if a house gets in my way, baby, you know I'll burn it down. You ran the night that you left me. You put me in my place. I got you in a stranglehold, baby. That night, I crushed your face.
I'm still going with Rihanna.
No, that is Ted Nugent.
What?
The song is called Stranglehold.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's been around a long time. Long, 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 long time.
Was there backlash when it first came out?
It was probably so acceptable that you smashed your spouse or whoever in the face. I don't think it probably even created a ripple at that time.
All All right. Zero for one.
Zero for one. We are playing Is It Teddy or Riri? Here's number two.
Okay.
B, better have my money. You should all know me well enough. B, better have my money. Please don't call me on my bluff. Pay me what you owe me. Ballin' bigger than LeBron. B, give me your money. Who y'all think y'all frontin' on? Like, brah, brah, brah. Teddy or Riri?
I know that one's Riri because that's what she started with last. So she kicked off the show with B, better have my money.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Okay. Do you?
I do.
Okay.
It's like, it goes hard.
Well, just, if you owe somebody money, you should pay them back their money. Okay. Here's the next one in our game we're calling Teddy or Riri. That Nadine, what a teenage queen. She looking so clean, especially down in between. What I like. She come to town, she be fooling around to putting me down as a rock and roll clown. It's all right. Wang dang sweet poontang. Wang dang, what a sweet poontang. A shaking my thing as a rang-a-dang dang in the bell. She's so sweet when she yanks on my meat. Down on the street, you know she can't be beat. Wang dang, sweet poontang. Wang dang, sweet poontang.
Oh my God.
Teddy or Riri?
I'm pretty sure Riri has never uttered the name Nadine, so I'm going to go with Teddy.
I love how that is your determiner, and you're right. That is a classic Ted Nugent song entitled Wang Dang, Sweet Poontang.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, Ronnie Jackson, congressman from Texas, so disgusted by Rihanna's performance last night at halftime that he suggested Ted Nugent would be a better alternative.
Family man.
Yeah. Clean. Those good family values, you know, sending the positive message to the youth of America today.
Might as well have gotten Rafi.
Final one. Teddy or Riri.
All right.
Number four. Got to keep it on the down low. I'll never let my mama know. Only call him on my cell phone. Only see him after dark. He scoops me up in his ride Friday about 8:45, so fly and so fine, and I'm so glad he's all mine. There's a thug in my life. How am I going to tell my mama?
I'm pretty sure that's Rihanna.
That is Rihanna. The song is called There's a Thug in My Life. But I think Ronnie Jackson should start a petition.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, but that is the thing, right? The thing, like, a lot of these country songs are not just country, but there's like traditional music, as maybe Ronnie Jackson would describe it. Sometimes the lyrics will fool you as far as how abusive or violent or sexual they are.
Sometimes you got to read them.
Just because Teddy can't dance like Riri doesn't mean that it's not just as nasty.
I thought it was an interesting comment to make, and I thought it was worth highlighting. You know, they just don't write lyrics like Wang Dang Sweet Poontang anymore, and the lyrical quality, it's underappreciated.
It's such
a shame.
Did you blush at all having to read those lyrics?
No.
You did fine.
Thank you.
It was very, like, slow clap for the performance.
I'm available for reading renditions of just about anything you want to throw my way. I'm here for you.
All right. Well, how'd you do at home? Because I got 3 out of 4. Not bad. Not bad. But coming back, we are going to talk about Emily Post for 2023. So what do you think? If someone starts telling a story that you've heard before, how long do you get before you tell them, hey, buddy, you've told me this? Let us know. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News special report. CBS News has confirmed the man who shot and killed three people on the East Lansing campus of Michigan State University Monday night is dead. At least five others have been wounded. They've been taken to the hospital, some with life-threatening injuries. This student was inside one of the campus buildings when the shooter went by.
And all of a sudden it was, he's in the courtyard, like right outside the building, and then they started blocking the doors. And then one of the people, just the door, people just started running to one side, so we all just ran out. And then we ran out, there were cops there, and they told us to go lay in a field.
MSU Deputy Police Chief Chris Rosman.
For parents, we understand. I can only imagine the emotion that's involved right now. It's going to help us, and it's going to help our response, the less people that are on campus at this point.
Once again, CBS News confirms that the man who shot and killed three people at Michigan State University has now died. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done, so let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Madnair. No matter where you're listening, across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. And a reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, and today's show has been, not to toot our own horn, today's show has been very good.
It has. It's been educational, informative, a little infuriating, and a little fun.
And a little fun. We're now in the fun part. Yeah. Of the show. But yeah, it's been, hats off to all of our guests that we've had today.
Definitely.
Everyone's been excellent and so interesting. So if you want to go back and listen to any of that, you can do it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, which is where you can also find the show notes every day.
And which is so important because, again, if you listen to any of these interviews and you want to find out more, you link everything, all the articles, if you want to find out more so you don't have to hunt and peck for that stuff yourself. It's really a valuable resource.
Thanks, Jake.
It is.
And you can find us wherever you find podcasts. Yeah. So if you want to subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple or Stitcher, and if you like us while you're there, leave a review. 5 stars or whatever you feel like is appropriate. But if you have thoughts on etiquette for 2023, this is the part of the show where we are going through some of New York Magazine's determinations as far as what goes and doesn't go in 2023 when it comes to etiquette.
It's proper behavior.
In general. So we got 3 different ones today. I'm going to set them up and then we'll go one by one. But if you would like to join the conversation and give us your opinion via text or calling us, 844-967-2789. Otherwise, Jane and I will just be opinionated.
We'll kick him around.
So the first one has to do with how long you give someone before you, like how long till you tell someone, hey, buddy, you've told me this already.
Ooh.
The second one's going to be who gets to use the word partner. And then how you talk to your animal in public. All right. So, Jane, when someone, because I have a handful of people in my life, one in particular who shall not be named, who repeats themselves a lot. And so how long do you say, like, at what point do you give someone, you're like, hey, yeah, I love you. You've already told me this.
Okay. I'm going to put this into the classifications.
Okay.
So for husbands, relatives, and good friends, you get 15 seconds.
15.
And I'll catch off. Yeah.
Even if you recognize it right away.
Oh yeah. I'll give you 15 just so you feel good.
Okay.
And then I'll probably say, you know, you did tell me that already. And that doesn't even always work because some people will just keep going anyway. Because apparently the second time they tell you is going to be better than the first.
There's new details.
Yes, apparently so.
What's the rule for strangers or less close friends?
You see, less close friends, then I think you can't cut them off quite that quickly, especially if you might want a favor down the road.
Oh, this is getting in good graces?
Well, you know, it's like, do I need something from you? Sure, I'll listen to that same boring. I'm so fascinated. Tell me again.
All right. Well,
what about you?
I think you're right that it depends on who it is.
Right.
And also with people you don't know as well, it's less likely you're going to hear the same story.
Exactly.
But with family, yeah. I don't know if I give them 15 seconds.
10.
Yeah, but this, in New York Magazine, they're saying, if someone starts telling you a story you've heard before, you have 2 seconds to tell them. Otherwise, you have to listen to the whole story.
Oh, that's baloney.
So, they're saying, interject with, oh my gosh, that was hilarious, or truly horrific, or unbelievable, you've told me. But if you don't say it within the allotted time, you just have to listen to them tell their story again. Ooh. And if you're in a larger group, you just have to listen, period.
Well,
which I do agree with.
I do agree with that, too, because we're not trying to publicly shame people for forgetting that they told you a story. So I'll give them that. But 2 seconds, come on. Sometimes it takes you 2 seconds to realize that you heard it already.
That's fair. Maybe the implication is, like, as soon as you recognize a story, you got to tell them.
Yeah.
If you're not in to listen to the whole story again, you got to tell them pretty quickly to be like, hey, I love you.
Yeah.
You already told me this.
Fair enough.
I feel like I do. I stop myself. I'm like, stop me if you told me this, because I think I tend to sometimes repeat myself. I also have my go-to stories.
We all have our go-to stories.
I know.
We do.
We'll get a laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So I think you and I, I agree that maybe 2 seconds is a little too precise, but as far as, you got to tell them immediately. Don't let them get halfway through the story and then tell them, hey, you already told me this.
Because at that point, you're halfway through. You might as well let them finish.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Straight people, straight people can use the word partner only when they're trying to get out of something.
Okay, I need more explanation than that.
All right, so you're familiar with, certainly in the gay community.
Yeah.
Especially for a long time before gay people could get married, they used the word partner.
Right.
I think now there are more people who are not necessarily married, who are heterosexual mm-hmm. and in straight relationships, but use the word partner. I'm sure, like, if you were not married, and you, like, if you and Paul were not married,
right,
wouldn't you feel a little silly calling him your boyfriend?
Of course.
Yes. So, but this is, I don't know, this is another very specific thing that I don't know if you and I are going to agree on. It's annoyingly vague, also smug, meaning the word partner. Some examples of when it's acceptable: when trying to procure an apartment or a seat next to your partner on an airplane, and in negotiations with bosses about relocations.
What?
So I guess I don't know why that would make a difference. Of, you can only use it when you're trying to get something out of it by using it. Is it to insinuate that maybe you're not straight?
I find that very confusing.
Because then they go on to say, this rule doesn't apply to people who are actively resisting the patriarchy by refusing to get married. You have no other word, we realize. But I still don't understand why it's appropriate. If you're not actually referring to your long-term partner, I think at this point, like, I'm confused by this, because I guess, is there scenarios where they're saying straight people who are married are using partner instead of husband or wife?
I find that unlikely. And so if, are straight people just not supposed to use the word partner unless they're trying to get something?
I know, which I don't understand what leg up that gets you to try to get something by being smug about my partner.
Well, and I don't understand why calling someone your partner is smug. How is that? What are you supposed to say? This is the person I've been sleeping with for 24 years? I mean,
at least it's honest.
Well, but come on. This whole ownership of words thing.
I know.
I get to own this word.
Well, it's ownership of words. It's also the evolving lexicon of what's appropriate. You know, we're going to try to find someone to talk about this with, but this is a little bit of a sidestep because we still have one more to get to. But I posted a video last week of when Keaton Kloss, who's the executive director of the Milton House Museum.
Great interview.
Great interview. Educated, like, clearly a history buff. And I posted the clip from that interview about why she uses the word freedom seeker and freedom maker. Because that was something I learned. And it made sense to me. And I had heard, you know, I had learned previously that now instead of saying someone was a slave, you say enslaved person and certain things like that. And so, like, the evolving lexicon that is happening to in the name of inclusivity, or depending on who you talk to, wokeness.
Right.
And it was interesting because ultimately there ended up being a handful of people on social media. This is on Instagram, that started attacking the word and saying this was whitewashing and just call it what it is. And there was and it was not just conservative white people saying this. It was people from the Black community saying, like, I don't like this word. And, like, we don't claim this word and this is too academic. And I ended up emailing Keaton because I was like, do you want me to take this down? Because I wasn't expecting this kind of
backlash.
But she said, I mean, it comes from, I'd have to look up the name that she referenced, but, like, in the museums and the sites that are still available.
Historical sites
with the Underground Railroad. This is the terminology that they have used. And she said, she's like, it's not this. Like, she's like, if you want to take it down, don't worry. I was like, I was just asking because if you wanted me to take it down because I had tagged you.
Sure.
But she said that she's gotten backlash in the past for that, too. So she wasn't necessarily surprised by it. But it kind of goes to what you just said. It's like, who owns words? You know, this is the Latinx versus Latino and Latina thing that people are, this came from academia, and a lot of people who are actually Latino don't identify with that
right
at all. And so the same thing with partner for so long, I think, was the term for committed
relationships,
largely in the gay community because there was no other option.
Right. But certainly as fewer and fewer couples, straight couples are getting married, partner seems like a valid term to use.
Because boyfriend and girlfriend feels juvenile.
When you're in your 60s.
Or even, I mean, even...
in your 40s.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of silly.
This is my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like there's a bigger conversation to have there. And it probably depends on who you're talking to. Because Nicholas Kristof, you know, very prominent reporter, journalist for New York Times for a long time. He just, I haven't read it yet, but he wrote an article about this. And now there is a conversation around, well, is he the right person to be talking about this as a white man, as far as what words we're using, is it more confusing? What his point is, and it was kind of the point being made in the comment section, was it's kind of like, you know, oh, we pulled Aunt Jemima, we've solved racism.
Well, of course,
you know, it's
not.
Like by like thinking that by changing the words,
the terminology,
you know, addresses systemic injustices. And that is there other things that could put towards to actually move the needle more than just changing what words we use?
Well, of course. And if we had ended that segment by saying racism is over, well done, everyone, I could see why we would have gotten some pushback on it. But at the same time, we want to learn. We do want to hear those comments. We do want to, you know, it's all open for discussion, folks. It is.
It is. We have thick skin.
Yeah, relatively.
Relatively. Depends on the day. All right, there's the final one.
Last one.
When another human is present, do not talk to your animal in the private voice you use when you're alone. Do not pitch that voice up.
Oh,
Clippy baby.
It's almost impossible not to, though, isn't it? Because you see that little furry face and you just drop into pet parent.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
little puppy face.
I know, right? Is it annoying? It's kind of endearing, actually.
So you, when Barkley was alive, would you do that voice in public?
Probably very unconsciously, you know? But again, keep in mind, my voice only goes so high
That's
at this
true.
Point in my life, so it's not like...
Touché, Jane. All right, well, I don't know if we have time for another one. Do we have time for one
we
more?
We have a minute.
All right, well, we'll save it for tomorrow. But if you have thoughts on any of those etiquette rules, give us a text. Do you think, can you talk to your pet in that special voice when you're in public? Or how long do you give someone to let them know, hey, you've told me this before? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And when we come back, Mike and I are new members of a legacy club. I can't wait to tell you about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
But my commander.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 31 overnight under clear skies. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow, high of 50, cloudy skies expected. Overcast tomorrow night, scattered rain showers likely, lows dip down to about 41. 3 to 5 inches of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Thank you for joining us on this very warm, balmy 41 degrees right now.
That's crazy.
So warm for early February. I guess we're now maybe mid-February since
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. My husband tomorrow is leaving me on Valentine's Day to go have a Mike-cation in Memphis.
What?
He is, this was at some charity event. He bid on a bunch of different, like, hotel night stays in a silent auction. And one of the ones that he won a handful, but one that he got was one night in Memphis. And with our schedule now, I can't just, like, get away.
Right.
As like I used to be able to.
And in the middle of the week?
In the middle of the week. And so he was like, I think I'm going to use the Memphis one and I'll just go solo since it's only for a night anyways. So he got himself a ticket for a Memphis Bucks game.
Cool.
And but he's like, his flight is first thing Wednesday morning out of O'Hare. So he's leaving me on Valentine's Day.
Tomorrow is Tuesday.
So he's going to sleep. His sister and brother-in-law live 10 minutes from O'Hare.
Oh, okay. So he's staying overnight there. Okay.
Drive to Chicago, stay at their house, and then fly out Wednesday.
This is the sign of a very comfortable relationship.
I think that's true. I don't really care.
Valentine's Day is a manufactured holiday.
I'm not sure we've ever, in the couple years we've been together, I don't think we've done a gift. I think we probably have done dinner, but I'm also not, we have to do something for our anniversary.
Right.
But it is a fun thing to give him crap for.
Grief about.
But the other thing yesterday we had a very, I would say this is quintessential Wisconsin. I do not say that tongue in cheek. I mean it as far as it is endearing how quintessential Wisconsin it was. So it was basically like an aunt, but it was his dad's cousin's wife passed a couple months ago. And they just had her service yesterday and it was lovely. But the spread of the food was so Wisconsin. There was so much cream and mayo and different insert pasta, potato, tuna, salad combinations.
Right.
There was puppy chow. There was the peanut butter with chocolate Rice Krispies. Which are so far superior to the marshmallow Rice Krispies. But just like walking through the lineup of the food that was available, which was all good, but it was just, I was like, oh, this is so Wisconsin.
You got your Jell-O molds. You got your casseroles.
You're stocked full bar.
Of course.
Full bar. Well, Mike got a Bloody Mary. But it was also, which I had never been to one before, it was at Moose Lodge in Muskego. And I had never, you know, I just have never been to one. And so I now know that there's over 1,600 across the country. They have over 1 million members.
There are 1 million Moose members?
There's 1 million Moose members.
Impressive.
And the newest one, unless something changed, is Michael Sampson.
So you guys joined the Moose Lodge?
I think his membership includes me. But certainly he joined. He was convinced because it's only $55 for a year.
Bargain.
It was a pretty big bargain. And he was a pretty easy sell as far as that. He was like, it's only $55 and I get like half off drinks and all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure every time he goes to Muskego from now on to see his dad, I will check Find Friends and he will be at the Moose Lodge pulling pull tabs and drinking a gin and tonic, taking advantage of that membership.
Can I ask what other benefits come along with being a Moose member?
So I was trying to figure that out. So it's like a fraternity, I think, of sorts. It's been around since 1888. And it's our fraternal organization rapidly expanded to include valuable service to our communities.
Cool.
Care for children and teens in need. I don't know exactly what member benefits were on the website. A Moose membership card provides access to over 1,600 lodges, so you can go to any Moose lodge.
Nice. You have brethren, you have moose everywhere.
Yes, but it also offers much, much more. Did you know that your Moose membership provides you with benefits that allow you to save more than your membership dues?
Wow.
Which isn't that much because it's only $55. Shh, shh. But that's right. Just being a member of the Moose fraternity provides you with a variety of money-saving opportunities in categories like travel, entertainment, insurance, and health and wellness. Your Moose membership has its benefits. Don't forget to take advantage of all that the Moose has to offer.
Moose perks. Don't let them slip you by.
And so there is, I will have to improve my game because I've never played, but there are horseshoes. And there's horseshoe leagues.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So we may have to get into that. But the big thing, the big takeaway was clearly any future baby shower will be at the Moose Lodge.
They've got the room.
They got that big room and we know they got a stock bar.
Exactly.
And so,
perfect.
So, yeah. So that was my funny weekend story that we are now Moose members.
Now, I did text this to you when we were conversing yesterday. That you had joined, and I would think that one of the biggest... Do they have special hats?
I did not see any special hats.
They should have special hats.
Because I asked my mom, I was like, wait, so is there a Moose Lodge in Rapids that we can go to? She's like, well, they still have Elks. They still have the Elks, which I don't know if that's a rival, if it was like the Sharks and the Jets.
That sounds like a competing lodge to me.
But I feel like the Elks maybe had hats. Or is that just out of like a trope out of a movie?
I would, as now as Moose Lodge members, you're going to have to investigate this a little further. If there are not hats, then we need to start a push for hats.
All right. Well, I just searched on the website in their little search bar, hats.
Yeah.
Nothing found.
Oh, we got to have hats.
Sorry, but nothing matched your search term. So maybe we'll investigate if there is a special, because what is the group that has the little red?
The Shriners.
Those are the Shriners.
I believe
the
so,
red,
yes.
Red,
yeah,
red
the,
caps.
The Fez. They wear a fez.
It's interesting because I feel like this is, there's still social clubs, but it feels like this breed of Shriners and Moose and elk, like, isn't as popular anymore, right? With younger people. It's not like people are signing up in the same way they did where there were so many and so many of them had healthy
memberships. Yeah.
And so did you ever have family that was in any of these types of groups that was like, it was a big part of their identity and social life?
Not moose or elk that I recall. I know my father was a member of the Lions Club.
Is that a similar?
Well, they do a lot of charitable things and fundraising for various charities, which I think a lot of these organizations ultimately do.
Is it kind of like how like Junior League was for women? So Junior League didn't really have like a location. Like you were a member and there was meetings, but it wasn't like they had a lodge or a meeting thing. All right. Well, We've run out of time. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.